Thank you, Your Honor. James Ayers for the plaintiff appellant, Gil Gerard. Judge Simons decided this case as a basically an Indiana law case involving whether or not a workers' compensation claimant whose case was dismissed, even though it was later determined it should not have been dismissed, had a surviving claim that could be brought in civil court. Sure. No, that ended in March of 1999. That was the end of it. The cases, that there are basically three sets of cases, I think, that determine what happens here, what should happen. The Stump case and the Trowbridge case are cases that establish that a person, a worker, has a right of action which can be brought in civil court for fraud or other items that are outside the purview of the original workers' compensation jurisdiction. The Trowbridge determined that the cause could not be brought in civil court until after the workers' compensation case was completely concluded. The issue here is that the case was dismissed by the Workers' Compensation Board, and there are two cases that work to that. One is the Gayhart case, where a dismissal took place, and then the worker went to civil court. The Court of Appeals determined that the Workers' Compensation Board was incorrect in dismissing it, but that nonetheless, because it had dismissed it, Mr. Gayhart had the option of either going to civil court or appealing and was not bound to do either one. So Gayhart establishes that. I believe that's in my brief as well. Judicial estoppel is one of the items that was argued to the district court, but the district court made the determination on the issue of whether or not there was a right surviving after a dismissal. Well, I'm going to argue that too, but the essence of the I don't believe that's what I intended the entire brief to be. Judicial estoppel does apply. Well, judicial estoppel, we believe, does apply, because in this case the statute was passed by the Indiana legislature, which gave the board jurisdiction over what had previous to that been exclusively civil court matters, and the defendants in this case, in order to safeguard the possibility that that would be retroactive, plaintiff filed his. Can't go back to the board. The matter was concluded as to the board. The board's jurisdiction ended when Judge Sarkisian said this case is dismissed. The current law, if this were brought now, it would be, but the fact that the judge under Indiana law, 30 days after the Judge Sarkisian dismissed the case, that was the final decision on that topic. No. And that's what Rasbach and Gayhart address. I'm not sure at what point. If Judge Sarkisian on February 10th of 99 said, this case is dismissed. You cannot do this. At that point, we had the option of either filing an appeal within 30 days, or that became final, or waiting it out until we were allowed to go to civil court. Yes. The full board, yeah. Yes, but according to Rosbach, the board is its own final arbiter of its jurisdiction. That is one of the arguments, and not only collaterally estopped in general, but judicially estopped because it was their motion, their argument that got that dismissal and that final determination. Correct. When you have a final determination based upon one party's request, and then that party comes back and argues it's not final, I think that's the point at which the judicial estoppel is another component. The law didn't change as to our cause of action, though. It changes the jurisdiction of the board, but our... I believe that the defendants, having staked out, requested a certain remedy, having achieved that remedy, should not be allowed to... I guess it's a matter of reliance on prior, all the prior proceedings. I don't think judicial estoppel requires a concept of sleazy and nasty. Pardon? No, I think they should be bound by their position. They took it. They got their benefit. What they were doing in the first place was seeking an extraordinary remedy from the Workers' Compensation Board. It was based on uncertain law, and they asked for the administrative law judge to make a determination in an area of uncertain law, and they got what they wanted. And as between them and the plaintiff, who is bound by that, they should be bound by that too. Pardon? It's their fault that they requested. The fault's not the right word. Well, as I said, I didn't use sneaky and improper. In this case, please. Right. Yes, and that's in the brief. It's race judicata argument, and I believe we've made that argument. Pardon? Well, I think it's cited in the brief as to the race judicata effect. The Gayhart and the Rasback cases are the equivalent of that for Indiana workers' compensation cases. There are cases in which there was... There are cases about the binding effect of... It is a preclusion doctrine, I think collateral estoppel. Gayhart is, it's not preclusion. Rasback is preclusion. Gayhart gives the option. Now, Rasback holds that since the Workers' Compensation Board had made a decision, the civil court couldn't look at the same facts and come to a different conclusion. I don't have a case to that specifically.
I'd be happy to go first.
Okay.
My name is Michael Rappa, and I represent Crawford & Company in this matter. We are asking that this court affirm the district court's decision to dismiss this case for failure to state a claim upon which relief can be granted, as the Workers' Compensation Board is the exclusive forum for the plaintiff's claim. We also believe that judicial estoppel does not apply to this case, and moreover, although the plaintiff had raised issues about collateral estoppel and law of the case, res judicata in its brief, we believe that the plaintiff did waive that at the earlier stage in the district court level. Notwithstanding the effect of the waiver, we think that those doctrines don't even apply in this case, situation. That's correct. The state of the law at that time, when the motion to dismiss was filed in the Workers' Compensation Board matter, the law was not clear as far as whether that statute was retroactive. That statute was adopted in 1997. This is a case that came up, and the injury happened in 1992. The difference now is that under Sams and Borgman is that the Indiana courts have decided that this statute is retroactive. It was not clear on its face. If we had that determination before, we would have been able to argue that direction and had that addressed in the Workers' Compensation Board in terms of the bad faith claims. I beg your pardon?
The intermediate.
That's correct. I don't believe so, not in terms of a substantive argument, no. I think that the, in terms of the, I'm just trying to apply the facts to this case. The situation here is that the law changed, and in the meantime, we have a case that was ongoing in terms of workers' compensation claim. This claim did not resolve itself until 2001. I would think that if the Workers' Compensation Board had made a determination back in 1999 and made it issue a final award, that starts the ball rolling as far as a bad faith claim, because under the plaintiff has already acknowledged that it had 2 years after the fact to bring that sort of a claim. Here we are. The lawsuit was filed in the district court in year 2003, close to 2 years after the final award from the Workers' Compensation Board. The fact of the matter is, we're talking about a claim for bad faith as a result of the alleged failure to treat a shoulder. That is all part and parcel of what this claim is about in the Workers' Compensation, before the Workers' Compensation Board. That issue, whether he needed to have treatment for that shoulder, continued on after 1999. I believe my time is up. Thank you.
That statement that he didn't have a tolling document, statutory tolling document. I think he was taking his appeal. That the law had changed.
Well, what is the doctrine that would allow?
No, Your Honor, I cited